If you notice, we have babies just popping out everywhere. That's exciting. You know what? If we can't grow the church one way, we'll grow it another way. I'm fine with that. I mean, we take it, you know, we take it as we can get it here. Wow. The Lord is good, right? And you, wow. In order to save room in the nursery, we're going to get a Velcro wall. And you just take the babies and right there. And they'll just hang out and be fine. You know, just Velcro them on the wall. Everybody will be happy. John, it's my turn to do what? Velcro? What's that? Oh, to populate. I completely missed that when you said that. Wow. I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see about that. I'll let you know how that's going, John. All right. Well, how many here have a perfect marriage as we are on Valentine's Day? Let's see. How many here have a perfect marriage? Can I see your hand? No? How many here, you've never had a fight in your marriage? You never had an argument? Anybody? You know what? It's very possible. In fact, I'm sure it's true that every marriage is full of conflicts. Every marriage has problems. In fact, there is no such thing as a perfect marriage, and here's why. Okay? Because if you think about it, a marriage is a time when you have one sinner who marries another sinner. And the two sinners become one sinner. Okay? So you can imagine the problems. There's always arguments. Wouldn't you wonder what it would be like to hear, I don't know, somebody else's argument, like maybe Adam and Eve? Wouldn't that have been cool if you could have sat in that meeting? You could have just been outside and hearing them have an argument. You think they'd have something to fight over? Adam and Eve? What's that? It's your fault, right? Yeah. There could be some resentment in that conversation, in that relationship. Well, I have a video, a secret hidden video of Adam and Eve. So let's see if we can listen in on their conversation and see how things went with them.
Adam, does this goatskin make me look big?
Looks better on you than the previous owner. What?
I'm having a hard time losing these last few pounds since bearing your children, and that's the best you can do? I look better than a goat? Thanks.
Babe, you know you are the most beautiful woman on the planet. What?
I'm the only woman on the planet.
Well, I can't help that.
You know, and it's amazing that as the only woman on the planet, you still can't seem to remember my birthday or give me flowers once in a while.
Well, I did give you a rib.
Oh, right. I forgot about that, since you haven't mentioned it for an hour. It's like your free pass to never lift a finger for me again.
Never lift a finger? I am out there busting my rear all day. Food just doesn't pop up from the ground. I have to get it with the sweat of my brow, since someone went and got the ground cursed.
You think farming's hard? Try raising those kids. Try giving birth.
Well, if someone wouldn't have taken advice from a talking reptile.
Oh, here we go.
Are you talking to me, little snake? What? Oh, jump off a bridge? Oh, I would, but they haven't been invented yet. Oh, eat this fruit? Well, you look like a pretty trustworthy snake.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, well, we were until you went and pretty much ruined it for all of mankind. So, good job with that.
I seem to remember you taking a bite, too.
Well, I thought I was eating from the tree of the knowledge of restfulness and serenity.
Right. It's never your fault.
Besides, what was I going to do with a fallen wife? That would just be weird.
Oh, you fell for me? You're an idiot.
Idiot? I named every single animal.
Right. Great job with that. A prairie dog's not a dog. A seahorse isn't a horse, and a bald eagle isn't bald.
Well, I was going pretty fast.
Aardvark? Platypus?
Okay, they were at the back of the line. Not everything can be cat or rat or bat.
Hippopotamus?
Yeah, well, woman was taken. Okay, how many gorge do you have back there? That was a joke. Not good for men to be alone.
No, it's great.
Wow. That was pretty funny. Hippopotamus? Well, woman was already taken. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Well, as we move forward today, we're going to touch on a new series called Building a Strong Marriage. I want to spend the next, today and the next two sessions after here, the next 2 weeks, talking about keys for a healthy marriage, to build a strong marriage. I'm going to give you the whole outline today for today. And if you never want to come back again, I guess you might have the next 2 weeks as well. So I'm just going to lay it out for you. But hopefully you do come back, because I'm praying it'll be a practical time as we spend time trying to build a strong marriage. I picture a marriage is kind of like a house. You have your foundation, you have your next level, you have other things built upon top of it, and then you have your roof. And here is the outline for this series. The first is Christ. Christ needs to be, guess what, the foundation of your marriage. If you want to build a strong marriage, Jesus needs to be the bottom level. He has to be. If you don't know, that's the name of our church, Solid Rock, which means Christ is the one upon whom we build our lives. Your marriage is no different than that. Jesus needs to be central. The following week, we're going to talk about communication. If Jesus is the foundation of your home and your foundation of your marriage, the next thing you need is good communication skills. You need to be able to communicate. Okay? Many marriages fail because Jesus isn't the foundation and they have poor communication skills. 2 weeks out, we're going to talk about conflict resolution. So you need to have Jesus as your foundation, you need to be able to communicate, and you need to be able to take care of conflicts, because guess what? Conflicts happen, don't they? Right? What can happen in a marriage? Well, problems, other people can sin against you and hurt you, you can sin against somebody else. Sometimes it can be conflicts of shortages, like financial shortages, somebody can lose a job. Sometimes there's hurt feelings, there can be unforgiveness, there can be conflicts over children, right? You can have a lot of conflicts, but I want to tell you today, the first thing you should do is not try to deal with the conflicts. The first thing you need to do is deal with Jesus. Jesus needs to be the foundation. The fourth thing would be everything else. Everything else is just on top of that. And this could be a whole lot of different things, okay? Let's say if your sexual life isn't the greatest, it's not the way that you would want it to be, that's not your number one problem in your home. Viagra would want you to think so, right? You've seen the commercials, right? We can name all the medications. This is the biggest problem you have. You need Jesus, to be honest with you. And then you need to be able to communicate. Because if that is a problem, if Jesus is your foundation, you can communicate with each other and really talk to each other openly and not be embarrassed about things. And if you can resolve any conflict that you have, all those other things that we can deal with. We can deal with financial problems. We can deal with intimacy issues. We can deal with a little child being a little monster, right? We can deal with those things if Jesus is holding us together, we're communicating, and we have conflict resolution skills. Today we're going to talk about Jesus, because he needs to be foundational in your life. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. On this Valentine's Day service, kind of, if you want to call it that. We're going to talk about love. And guess what? Love is based upon who? Jesus, right? The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is the ultimate picture of love, isn't he? He is. Jesus loves us. He died for us to show us his love. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And we're going to read a few verses here today. 1 John 4, 7. Do you have a page number, Pastor Bob?
943,
if you have one of our Bibles. 943, if you have a paperback blue Bible that we give out or one of the purple ones in your seats. 943. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is brought to full expression in us. The number one thing you need in your marriage is Christ. You need Jesus in your marriage. Now, you don't need religion in your marriage. You need Jesus. You really need the person and work of Jesus Christ to be alive and active within you. Because here's the deal. Jesus is love. We spent a whole week on this in December as well as we went through Advent. Jesus is love. He's the perfect example of love. If you don't have Jesus, you have no shot at truly loving, I think. It's very, 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 very difficult to love somebody unconditionally. Let's talk about Jesus' love. It's unconditional, right? He loves us whether we deserve it or not. Now, for those of you who are married, or those of you who aren't married yet, you can just think of this in the future, but Jesus loves us whether or not we deserve it. Wouldn't you want your spouse to love you whether or not you deserve it? How cruel is it for people to think that they need to do something to have their spouse love them? That for many women, they fall into the trap that society preaches that they need to lose more weight or God won't love you. They need to have bigger breasts or God won't love them. Just to be honest, I'm not trying to be crass. I'm just trying to be real here. And I say that as a husband, but I say that as a father. That when I look at my little girl, I don't want her down the road to feel worthless or feel like she has to do something to have somebody love her. Right now, I'm thinking I don't ever want her to get married. But if that day comes, you know, because I'm a dad, that's why. I mean, you know. But if that day comes, it better be a godly man. Or number one, we'll just kill them because we do that, right? We can find a verse in the Bible, stone them to death. Would anybody help dig the hole, right? Would the ushers please help escort so-and-so? But here's the other thing. I would want the man to have experienced the unconditional love of Jesus, that he would be changed. That he wouldn't be only worried about himself, but Jesus would break his heart and he would begin to think about others and love others and see others as Christ loved them. I would want the young man to come and see my daughter as not just my daughter, although that's important, but also as a daughter of God and treat her with reverence and dignity and respect. That's not going to come from some dude that just, like, girls are hot, right? It's not, we want someone who's been changed by Jesus so she could be loved unconditionally, that she wouldn't have to worry about growing up and I wonder if he won't love me if I gain weight. Or I wonder if he won't love me if I get sick. True love is unconditional. How many of us would love that from our spouse? Unconditional love. Okay? How about if somebody gets hurt? God forbid you're disabled. Who would want their spouse to leave them and say, "You can't do what I would want you to do anymore. So I don't love you anymore. I only loved you because of whatever, because you could work, or I only loved you because you were handsome, or I only loved you because you were hot, or I only loved you because you could perform in bed, or I could only love you because of all these other reasons." And we live in that kind of a culture. Right? I only date you providing you do whatever I want you to do on our date. We live in a weird, twisted culture. Christ needs to be foundational, because when we look at his unconditional love, it changes everything. There was a great movie, I think Billy Graham helped make it years ago. It's sad, but it's a great movie about love. And it's a man who, he's probably in his 50s or 60s, probably 60s, and his wife got dementia and Alzheimer's. And his wife would just like get in her car and drive somewhere and not know where she is, and she couldn't function really as the person that he married. And he's wrestling, "God, why did you allow this to happen?" And his friends are encouraging him to find a new woman. And at the end of the movie, he comes to the conclusion, "No, I will love her unconditionally like Christ loves me." That she's not trying to not be there. She's really sick. But Jesus loves me even though I'm sick. I'm going to love her. I think the movie's called A Vow to Cherish. I saw it on TV. It's a real challenging movie. But you know what? When mental illness hits, God forbid, real love says, "I will love you." How about when your spouse loses their job? "Well, I only loved you for the money you bring in." That's sad, isn't it? No, it needs to be more than that. It needs to be, "I love you because I love you. Whether or not I think you meet my standards, whatever they are. I don't have standards. I love you." Well, I don't know about that. That sounds weird. But I love you because Jesus loves me unconditionally. Right? Regardless of what happens. Till when we say those vows, I give them to people and they repeat them. In sickness and in health, love to cherish us both as long as we both shall live, not until they foreclose on our home. Right? Or until I find somebody else that I think is hot. Right? Or until I'm bored of you. That's sad. Number one, we need Jesus, because he teaches us unconditional love. And to that, for those who aren't married, do not settle for someone who doesn't know Jesus. Do not settle for someone who doesn't know Jesus. Number one, the Bible tells you don't do that. It's a sin. And God doesn't just have it on the list because he doesn't want you to date all the hot girls or all the hot guys. God has it on its list because he knows it'll destroy your life. He knows down the road things will happen. And it won't go well for you when you defy his word. Not that Jesus won't love you, not that you can't go to heaven, but things won't be God's best. For those who are already married, and this hurts right now, and I'm talking about this because you don't think your marriage is centered on Christ. To that, some would say, "Well, let's get a divorce and run." And I say, no, that's not what God wants you to do. And I could pull out scriptures to show you that. God doesn't love divorce. He hates divorce, the Bible says. Is divorce inevitable sometimes? I don't know, but sometimes it happens. And I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you. If you've been divorced, that's not my goal. But I want you to know that God loves you, and God wants your marriage to work, and he wants you to make Jesus as your foundation. The book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, where Paul shares about a woman who... He said, if a woman gets saved, she is not to leave her unbelieving husband. She's to serve him and love him and be a good example of Christ and submit to her husband. and love him in hopes that he will come to Christ. If he refuses to come to Christ, then you just continue moving forward and you live the example of Jesus before him. The Bible says if he wants to leave you because you become a Christian, then you're free. But your goal shouldn't be to seek marriage or rather to seek divorce, or you don't get saved. If you're a couple, you don't go to church and find a new man, or you don't go to church and find a new woman apart from your wife. Strange. Pastors shouldn't marry their secretaries. Very bizarre, right? Sunday school teachers shouldn't marry the choir directors. Pretty weird. That's not how it's supposed to go down. It's supposed to go down with us making Jesus the foundation of everything. And that's true. He loves you unconditionally. And that's what that verse shared. See, you don't know what love is until you experience Jesus. How else does Jesus love? Sacrificially, right? Jesus was willing to lay down his life and die. The Bible says if Jesus did that, how much more should we love each other? And I think how much even more, not just each other, but should we love our spouse sacrificially? How does this work out? Well, there was a guy, wow, that would have been a good clip, actually. About 6 months ago, there was a guy at a baseball game that got ripped on ESPN and nationwide. Have you seen it? He was dating this girl. They went to a stadium. There was a Popeye foul ball coming over towards him. And it's coming right at him, and the dude ducks and lets his girlfriend take the ball. Yeah, and they ripped him. Like, you should have been jumping in front of the ball to protect your girlfriend. And the joke is, you know, they broke up 5 minutes later. You don't want a man who runs from you when trouble hits. You want someone who's sacrificial. How do you know how to sacrifice for others? Because Jesus is the ultimate example. For me, for those who have hung around me a little bit, you've probably heard me say that. If there was something I didn't like or I didn't want to do, and it's a pretty serious thing, I would say, well, Jesus didn't really feel like dying on the cross for me. But he did. And he sacrificed himself for me. I can suck it up and do what I need to do. Because it's not nearly as big of a deal as Jesus. I would want your love and your marriage to be one that models the sacrifice of Jesus, unconditional and sacrificial. So what does that mean? Well, it would mean that the husband, it could mean this, that the husband works and works hard and puts in time, even though he knows it's not something he wants to do, but it's the right thing. And he supports his family. As a kid, my dad was a truck driver. Now, my dad's not a perfect man, but my dad is an awesome example of somebody who works hard for his family. And he would be gone all week. I would see him get in the truck, his pickup to go out and get his tractor and trailer, and he wouldn't come home till like Friday. But he's out on the road, exhausted, driving ridiculous hours to help provide for me and my three brothers. And we were all stupid and ungrateful, and we'd eat all the food in the house and have contests and not realize how much food costs because we were boys and we're dumb. But my dad was working hard to provide food for us and to help us. And to be honest, I look at that as an example of sacrifice. He was sacrificing for his family. Do couples work and sacrifice for each other? Yeah. When Jesus is our foundation, to us he's the example of unconditional love and he's the example of sacrificial love. In a real small way, what could be a way that you sacrifice for your spouse? It could be you wake up a few minutes early and you put on the coffee for them. So when they get up, the coffee's on already. Or it could be you're exhausted and before you go to bed, you set the coffee. So that way, even if they get up earlier than you, they walk out and it's right there. It could be you take the time to do something for them, to be a blessing to them, even if you don't feel like it. Because you want to show and reflect the love of Jesus in your life. When Christ is your foundation, he changes you. Also, if you're married, I want you to begin to think about the times where your spouse is sacrificing for you. Oftentimes, if we don't realize it, we can just go through life and our spouses can sacrifice for us, and we're just too busy to realize it. And then if we don't notice it, or if we don't express love, or if we don't maybe thank them from time to time, although your spouse should love you unconditionally whether you thank them or not, still, your love can grow cold. How much better to say, you know what, honey, I really appreciate it when you put the coffee on for me. And I know you're tired and you don't want to do that, but thank you. Or I really appreciate it when you work so hard. Or I really appreciate it when you do this or that. But I think when Christ is your foundation, you get to see that. And to be honest with you, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. And I think that's about all that we're going to talk about today. We're going to move to a time of prayer. But I think that's a lot. I think that's enough to think about. Jesus is our example of unconditional love. So as you go home, number one, though, here's the application. Number one, if you haven't asked Jesus to forgive you and you haven't made Him the Lord of your life, you need to do that. Because Jesus loves you. And he wants to give you a new heart. And what I'm talking about today is you need to have both people have Jesus be the Lord of your heart. That He comes in and He changes you. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking about having Jesus change you. That's why I made the Christ block purple. It's not because Jesus is a girl or anything like that. It's royalty. It's the color of royalty. Is Jesus the king of your life? Is He the king of your home? Is He the king of your marriage? And if you do that, ask Him today. Ask Him to forgive you, and He will forgive you. Confess your sins to Him. He knows what you've done. Just get real with Him and say, God, You've seen my sins. And talk to Him. And when you confess, that means you turn 180 degrees. That means if you were walking in your life your own direction for you and just whatever you wanted to do, to repent of your sins means that you turn around and you say, Lord, help me to not walk my way. I want to turn and live for You. Give me the power and strength to begin living for You. That just as You sacrificed on the cross for me when I'm tired, I will sacrifice my time, if you can even use that word, to read the Bible and spend time with You. Even when I'm tired, I will spend time with You. I will show Your love. Number one, ask Jesus in your heart. Number two, as you go, think about yourself. Because don't just start thinking about your spouse saying, they don't love me, they never sacrifice. I want you to think about you and say, Lord, help me to show Your unconditional love. That when my spouse hurts me, I forgive them, right? Right? How about if your spouse doesn't ask for your forgiveness? What if your spouse doesn't say sorry? We need to forgive them anyway. We don't forgive them just as a conditional basis. We forgive them because Christ loves us. And you know what? If Jesus were keeping track of every sin that we committed, I don't know that we could get through the day. But when I go to the Lord and I say, forgive me, I'm probably not aware of half of the stuff that I've done wrong that makes the Lord mad. And He still loves me. You need to hold no record of wrongs, as 1 Corinthians 13 says. Hold no record of wrongs. That list, if you're a list keeper, that's poison. And that's of the devil. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, hold no record of wrongs. Don't sit back and say in an argument, you know what? In 1973, you did this, right? Who does that? You hold no record of, you love unconditionally. I remember our first date. When we love unconditionally, we say, you know what, I'm going to burn the list. I'm going to burn the list. I'm going to hold no record of wrongs. Jesus doesn't sit back. Let it go. Love unconditionally for yourself. Don't make them jump through your hoop. Don't say, I'm not going to love them unless except this, or unless they look like this, or unless they treat me like this, or unless they watch like chick flicks with me if you're a girl, right? Don't, you know? My wife loves me, and there's this movie series she wants me to watch, and it's a girly thing. Oh, Lord. And I, one day out of love for her, I said, honey, I love you. This is important to you, so I guess I'll watch this with you. Well, I just haven't had a chance yet. Okay? It was a big step for me to even commit. And we're home. What do you want to watch, honey? The girly movie? No. I'm not ready tonight, honey. But I'll watch it someday. And I have to. Now I told you, so I'm really going to have to. Hopefully the Lord will come back before the movie's over. It'd be awesome. Awesome. Be like, yes, Lord. You raptured me from the movie. Awesome. But my wife doesn't say, and doesn't think, you know what? I'm not going to love you unless you do this. She loves me anyway. And I'm still going to sacrifice for her someday and watch the stinking movie. Gone with the Wind is one of those movies she wants me to watch. Hey, honey, I'm talking about you today. I still love you. I know a good marriage counselor that might help us when we get done. Love unconditionally. Look at yourself. Love sacrificially. Look at yourself. And say, do I sacrifice? It's so easy to point out the other person. I want you to do this. You are lazy. You don't care. You don't say these things. And now, look at yourself. And in fact, I think that's not too far off from the last verse that we read. No one's ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is brought to full expression in us. Nobody's ever seen God. But if you love like Jesus loves, unconditionally, sacrificially, your spouse should catch a glimpse of God in your life. They should catch a glimpse of Jesus. His love should be brought to full expression in you. If your spouse knows Jesus, awesome. Spend time making sure Christ is your foundation. Spend time in prayer together. If your spouse doesn't know Jesus, I want you to love them unconditionally and sacrificially and show them the love of Christ. And love them. And we pray that we'll love them into the kingdom. We pray that they'll get saved and come to Jesus. But love them. So as you leave, don't be bitter. Love. What if your spouse doesn't get you anything for Valentine's Day? Don't write it on your list. Love. Love. What if your spouse is sitting here today, hearing me remind them, and they still don't get you anything? Love. Maria says, kill them. Love. Love. But love them. And if you do that, to be honest with you, I think things will go way better for you. And you know what else? The Holy Spirit works in your heart individually. And if your spouse has asked Jesus to forgive them, the Holy Spirit works in their heart. And as you two are living for Jesus and you're walking together and you're praying together, you're not perfect. You're not perfect. But as you're walking together, it's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better. Is my marriage perfect? No. No. Are there situations in our marriage where my wife is just wrong? Sure. Are there times in my marriage where I'm wrong? No. Yes. I'm just kidding. She'll tell you no, but in all honesty, yes. Is it right? Yes. In fact, to be honest with you, if I'm humble enough, I'd probably say I'm probably wrong more than she is. Because I can be stubborn and bullheaded, and my strengths can also be my greatest weaknesses. And I can be focused and I can miss everything. You know what? My wife loves me. And she looks past everything. And I love my wife. And I want to always love her unconditionally, sacrificially. And here's a key, though, especially as Christians. If we're not pressing into Jesus individually, your love for your spouse can grow cold. That goes back to making Jesus foundational. And I think we're going to pray in just a second, but don't miss this. If I don't spend time with Jesus, and I don't mean as a pastor, I mean just as a man, just me and Jesus, and I don't speak to Him, and I don't read my, if I don't read my word and just have Him change my heart and convict me of sin, and if I don't repent of the sin and confess my sins to Jesus, just me and God, if I don't do that, if my love for Christ isn't strong, my love for my spouse will grow cold. And the things of the world will somehow become brighter and more attractive. And I know how this works. Other potential partners will spring up. And things will look better for you. And it's really Satan tempting you. I think there's a lot of truth in that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world grow strangely dim. It's amazing how when Jesus is changing my heart, and Jesus is filling me with His love, I'm able to love. And I'm able to love sacrificially and unconditionally if I have Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Make Him the center of your life. Make Him the center. If you're not married, make sure the person you marry, their center is Jesus. If you are married and your spouse is a Christian, encourage that. Men, help your wives. The Bible says, present your wife to Christ as Christ loves the church. Christ presented the church to Him holy and without spot and wrinkle. We're to present our wives to Christ as best we can and honor them and lift them up for the Lord. How about if they don't deserve it? We still do that. How about if they're nasty to us? We still do that. How about if they hold a record of wrongs? We still present them and love them. Because Jesus is changing us. We're going to pray. And we're going to go ahead and try and take care of business right now before we move on. Lord God, I thank You, Jesus, that You're the ultimate example of love. That on this Valentine's Day, we don't talk about Cupid and everything else that's ridiculous, Lord. We don't just think love is about Hallmark and K diamonds and all this other stuff the world tries to say. We know that love emanates from You, that You showed Your love on the cross, and that Your love that's unconditional and sacrificial is bigger than we can even wrap our hands around. And as Paul said, Lord, we pray today that You would show us how deep and how wide and how high and how long the love of Christ is, that You would help us to realize how much You love us. And I pray for those in our church today that they would begin to sense Your love, and that in so doing, they would be changed by Your love, and Your love would shine through them and help them to love others. I pray particularly for the marriages today, that You would bless them and help them, Lord, to be built upon the rock of Christ. Be with them. As Satan would want to come and bring temptation and bring destruction, we pray for peace, and we pray for a filling of Your joy, and that You would strengthen them. For the marriages that are hurting today, Lord, there are many in our church whose marriages are fractured. I thank You, Lord, though, that You're able to heal even broken marriages. You're able to bring them back to restoration. And God, we pray right now that You would heal them. For those who are contemplating divorce, I pray for healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Even for those, Lord, whose spouse has pushed them away, I pray, God, today that You would touch them and You would fill them with Your love and help them to be healed. We pray. For those today who are divorced and this is a painful reminder of things left undone, I pray that You would just fill them with Your love and help them, Lord, that we can't change the past, but moving forward, they can be filled with your unconditional love and your sacrificial love and love others. And I pray for those today who are in dating relationships. I pray, Lord, that you would touch them, that you would help them to be responsible, that things would be done in your right, timely manner. And Lord, I pray that if the person they're with is your best for their lives, I pray blessings. I pray that they get married and they enjoy life and they walk in the Lord. And if it's not the right person, I pray, Lord, that you would split them up. And when the time is right, you would bring them to the right person and you would give them the patience to wait. We pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep our heads bowed for just another second here. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today before we leave. Or if you're here and maybe you've asked Him to forgive you, but it's been a long time and things have been messed up in your life, today you need to make Him the foundation of your life. We've kind of walked through that and talked about that. But He wants to work in your life and He wants to change you. And this morning as we prayed at 9 o'clock with those who came for prayer, we prayed for you today. If you're here today and you're wondering, you know, about asking Jesus to forgive you, we prayed for you this morning that you would allow Christ to forgive you. And I pray that you would do that today. Jesus loves you. All those things that I spoke of is how He loves you unconditionally, sacrificially. And if you feel like you don't deserve to be forgiven, you're absolutely right. But Jesus loves you anyway. If you feel like you don't deserve life, Jesus loves you anyway and wants to give you new life and wants to forgive you and give you a fresh start. And I pray that you would receive His gift today. If that's you today, I just want to pray for you. And I'm going to ask you right now, just slip up your hand for a second, just so I can know, and then I'll lead you in prayer. I'm not going to make you stand up or get in front of people or nothing like that. Only I would know. But if that's you today and you say, Pastor, pray. I need Jesus today. I want to see your hand. If you're here to say, I receive Him as my Savior. I want His forgiveness. Thank you. I see that. Anybody else today? Anybody else? I see that hand as well. Good. Anybody else today? Jesus is working in your life and I don't want you to keep Him out. Today's a new day for many of you. Anyone else today before we move on? Praise you, Lord. We're going to pray, and what I want you to do as a church, I want us to pray this prayer of cleansing for the Lord. And let's all pray this together. This is particularly for those who have raised their hand. I want you to mean this with all of your heart. But we're all going to do this together and ask Jesus to come in and be the Lord of our lives. So let's pray. Jesus, we love you, Lord. And right now we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. We know, Lord, that you love us unconditionally and sacrificially. And we know that the price for our sins has been paid. And Lord, right now, we confess our sins to you. And right now, where you are, just begin to talk to the Lord and just you and God and begin to confess your sins to Him. Right now, just you and Jesus and talk to Him. Hallelujah. 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 We confess these sins to you, Lord. And let's pray. I confess these to you. And I ask you to help me to never do them again. I repent of them. And I want to walk with you. Forgive me. And make me a true follower of Christ. Thank you for forgiving me and giving me a new heart, and help me to love like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus is good. Let's give Him praise today. You know what? Awesome song Pastor Bobby led us with today. Come just as you are. The Lord takes us as we are. You don't have to put on your Sunday best. You don't have to do anything in particular. You just come as you are, and the Lord forgives you and changes you. And let me just be real honest with you. If you've done that today and you ask Jesus to forgive you for the first time, or first time in a while, you've got your life right. Listen, it's only going to take about a half hour, and Satan's going to want to attack you and make you think everything was just emotional and the pastor was just really good and you just said a prayer and it didn't really happen and you really weren't changed. Just be real. I'm not that good, okay? It's not just your emotions. The Holy Spirit's at work in your life. And I don't want you to leave here thinking it was just emotion. If you really prayed that prayer with your heart, the Bible says Jesus has come into your heart and He's forgiven you and He's given you new life. And don't let the devil tell you anything different. Yes. Amen? Amen? The Bible says we're new creation. That's why it's so important for you to spend time with Jesus, because the devil would want you to think, oh, it was just a little fluffy experience. No, it was really Jesus. And He really changed you. And I want to encourage you to spend time with Him. Live for Him. Spend time in prayer. Prayer isn't this lofty thing where you have to go to a tower. You can sit in your car and say, Jesus, and just talk to Him. My day stinks. Help me, Lord. But I love You and You're so good. And just begin to talk to the Lord. And you'll find His presence come over you. Spend time in His Word. If you missed the last couple messages, listen to them online. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you know what? If you do that, you will find Him at work in your life in a great way. I want to encourage you to come back the next 2 weeks as well. We're going to try and be very practical. Next week, I'm going to try to share some good tips on helping to build your communication skills in your marriage. Very practical stuff. I want to encourage you to come out. The following week, we're going to talk about conflict resolution, solving the problems in your marriage. You'll have problems. I have problems. Well, you know I have problems, but I mean, in our marriage, we have conflicts. And you need to have good skills. And I want to encourage you to come out. Now, by coming out, that doesn't mean you're admitting anything. I just want to encourage you to come out, and I want to help be an encouragement to you. If you're not married, you can still value from this, because you can help loved ones who are dealing with these issues. And to be honest, we're going to address these from a marriage context. But to be very honest, these can deal with relationships with brothers and sisters, and you need to communicate, and you need to love, and you need to help with conflict. You ever get in a conflict with a brother or sister or something? It could still happen, right? So, it's still valuable to you.